The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and your favorite Chicago Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
A special Sunday edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority alongside the 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you along for the next hour. There's a lot to break down. At some point, I believe we'll be joined by the voice of the Bears, our partner on the radio, Jeff Joniak. But before we get to the first round of the draft, Tom, and that takes place Thursday, the Bears are going to get a chance to go on the field and practice. They're going to have a veteran mini camp. When you hire a new coaching staff, you're allowed to hold two. The first one takes place beginning Tuesday, Wednesday. It'll go to Thursday, and that's when, in the evening, the first round of the draft takes place. What is this coaching staff going to learn about the roster before the draft takes place?
You're going to learn, first of all, you're going to take an evaluation of the weight coach and the weight room performance. Now, does a guy that has superior strength or needs to get stronger, does that relate or convert to the field? So can you be a strong football player in the weight room and still be athletic enough to handle your assignments on the field? Because Jay Hilgenberg always used to have the saying, this is when a lot of guys look their best, when you put them in a weight room in shorts and they do, you know, look so muscular. So first of all, you have to see if the weight room converts to the field. But they've also been in the classroom. And this is probably the most important aspect. You know, after you look at a guy physically, and if he fits into the eye test, yeah, I believe he can play. How does the classroom work flow to the field? Is it quick? Is it precise? Is it accurate? Do you know every one of your assignments? And can you learn to the call in the huddle, go to the line of scrimmage, know what the count is, but still understand your assignment, even if a defense changes at the last second? And that's an aspect that they're finally going to be able to have a conversation about these individuals. When you get into the room and you have Ryan Pace and John Fox and Adam Gase and Coach Fangio and the rest of the coaches, now they can start using their knowledge of how these guys fit in to what they've already, you know, been having trials in the classroom, in the weight room. And then you have to look at the offseason surgery guys. A guy like Matt Slauson, really important to the offensive line, having a very strong offseason, recovering from his chest injury. But how is Lamar Houston? How is Willie Young? And what stage is their recovery? And now, what do we have to start thinking about in their terms? Are they going to be contributors this year? Or are they so far behind in their rehabilitation from what we're going to ask them to do of a new defense? Will they be able to go out there and compete? So again, it's really a luxury to have this mini camp, but you're going to open up so much conversation between schemes. Can they compete? Are they a good fit for the system that we see for the future of the Bears? Zach, there's a lot of dialogue that can open up before a mini camp and then after 3 days of watching them and evaluating them on the field.
It's funny, there's been so much talk about the Bears this offseason from a lot of people who seem to think they know what's going on, but the reality is, Tom, we don't. All we know for sure is that the Bears are a 3-4 team. You don't know when the coaching staff is taking a look at the tape from guys that have played in the league or guys that are going to start playing in the league, guys that have come over from other teams. You don't know if they're trying to fit those particular players into their schemes or if they're constructing a game plan and plays based on their ability from what they've seen on the tape. So it's tough to tell at this point.
It is. The strict evaluation they're going to have to go through and watching the games last year is going to give them an opportunity to see players when they need to be at their best. Are they physical contributors to defense? Do they play a physical aspect on offense and the offensive line? What do they do after they catch the ball as a receiver, run the ball, quarterback? All these evaluations are going to be made from tape. But again, when Coach Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, and Vic Fangio, they have the scheme in their mind, then you can start seeing, does this puzzle piece fit where I need it? Because you know how coaches always say all the pieces of the puzzle are together? Now you're going to start constructing that puzzle. And they don't know if they have an edge piece or an interior piece or a side piece. And all those things are going to have to be looked at, strictly evaluated from what you looked at on tape, and how does it convert to a practice field? And now you get to start talking about it with your whole staff, and that's when you really get some great input. That would be the room to be fun to be in, is being that staff room before the draft, or after the mini camp before the draft.
This is a special Sunday edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. We're here for the next hour breaking down everything that we expect to see from the Bears this week through the draft. And a week from today, we'll have another special edition of Bears All Access where we'll recap what the Bears have done over the three-day draft. It's a unique experience because it's here in town.
Right. You know, it's fun because when we do that Ask Tom segment, we have some great questions about the Bears. But I think next Sunday it might be the highlight because we'll probably have more questions about the Bears after the draft and some of the free agents they were able to pick up and sign and bring to Chicago, the undrafted guys. That's when the questions will start, because then you're going to start getting an evaluation of what the coaches may think at talent at certain positions. Do they go out and draft four safeties and bring three in free agency or something like that? What is their determination that they desire the most after the three-day minicamp?
Help me understand something, because we don't quite know what the Bears are going to look like defensively. They keep saying 3-4, so that we know, but we don't know what it's going to look like. Vic Fangio has been a defensive coordinator at several different stops throughout his NFL career. When you look at the defenses, and the last time we saw him as a coordinator, he was in San Francisco, was 4-0 against Aaron Rodgers with the 49ers when he was the defensive coordinator. What do we know from the defenses that he had, say, in Baltimore, in Houston, and in San Francisco that can carry over to what the Bears are right now?
You know, Vic Fangio, even going back to the New Orleans days, he developed stud linebackers. He'll develop four linebackers that are maybe the picture of success in terms of four linebackers across the board in the NFL, and you look at his track record with doing that. But the unique thing about Coach Fangio is some of the defensive linemen he used in front of his linebackers, they weren't always like – they had unique traits about them. You know, they had Justin Smith in San Francisco. A lot of people thought he was done after Cincinnati. He went on to San Francisco to probably have a better career in San Francisco with Coach Fangio and his defense than he did in Cincinnati. There used to be a guy in New Orleans. His name was Jumpy Gathers. He was a really long, really tough blocked defensive lineman that played inside and outside, but he really contributed to the greatness of their linebackers. And that's the key. Is if Coach Fangio can find the defensive line that he really likes to go to bat with, which, you know, may be six or seven deep, then the key is making sure that those four linebackers are protected. They're running sideline to sideline. They have blitz ability. And then they can take advantage of, say, a tight end that's not as good as an edge blocker or an H-back or even a tackle that's in the development stages. If you're getting these guys thinking and blocking, you're taking something away from them.
So as an offensive player, because you have a unique perspective, when you look at a defense, you're looking at it from your days as a player, from the offensive line, what would give you trouble when you look at a 3-4 defense that the Bears need to do in order to kind of put a little bit of fear on the other side of the team?
You know, whenever you play a 3-4 defense, there's going to be some combination blocks between the offensive linemen that are going to try to go from the first level to the second level. And if you can move the first level easily and then you get to that second level just as easy, you're really taking two players completely out of the mix and you have the ability to create a big hole in the inside of that defense. But if you get a big, thick, dominant defensive lineman, and now two offensive linemen got to spend more time on him than they can get to the second level, all of a sudden that linebacker has the advantage. He's in the hole before you. He's in a position of strength while you're in a position of unbalance. So it is. There are key aspects that, you know, can really make a defense great by using their speed, athleticism, and intelligence. But that is going to be a key factor, is making sure they understand what their assignment is when they break the huddle.
Let's flip it around to the Bears' offensive side of the ball. And Adam Gase comes in. He's never been an offensive coordinator without having Peyton Manning as his quarterback. That has to be a significant difference coming over here. But with all due respect to the Bears' personnel, you know, Peyton Manning was the guy calling the plays in Denver.
Well, you know, whether you're with Peyton Manning or another quarterback in the league, you know, you're always going to learn, because it's going to be a combination of you're teaching the quarterback that the quarterback's always already held – you know, also helping you learn about your offense. What is this quarterback confident in my offense that he does well? What are the things that he doesn't like so well in the initial stages of a game plan? So I think to expedite the learning curve of a guy like Adam Gase, having the ability to work with Peyton Manning can speed things up, because now you have a quarterback that loves to study. He loves to be prepared. And I don't think he's afraid to tell you the things he's not so confident in according to that game plan, that allows you to structure game plans more confidently against whatever opponent you're getting prepared for. So I think they're both, in talking about Coach Gase here, I think he is going to benefit from his opportunities that he's had in the NFL and even in working with a guy like Peyton.
Even though the Bears coaching staff gets an opportunity to see the players on the field for the first time this offseason, what can't you tell? Even though you're practicing 3 days in a row, what can't you tell because of some of the restrictions that you have during an offseason?
You know, what they're going to do at time of collision. Because the thing about it is, when you have guys in no pads, you can give guys a false sense of confidence and a false sense of insecurity because the way guys play with no pads on it, because it's hard to have a physical attachment. But when you put full pads on and you have this guy that's stronger than anybody in the weight room, he runs faster than anybody on the practice field in shorts, then all of a sudden you put shoulder pads and a helmet on and a whistle concludes the play after the collision rather than just ending the play because you know pads. That's when the determining factor of the worth of the player is really going to stand out the most.
Tom, we've got an action-packed hour here on Bears All Access, including we play Ask Tom in a little bit. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and it's rapid-fire, nonstop football questions for Tom Thayer. At the end of the segment, I will pick a winner, and that winner will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Also, we'll find out exactly what you think is going to happen prior to the 7th overall pick in the first round, which I think will have a big factor in what the Bears end up doing. And we'll visit next with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. Tom's here. I'm Zach. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's. And this week on Inside the Bears, Matt Slauson receives a special honor from his teammates, and Super Bowl champ Otis Wilson is keeping Chicago students active with his after-school program. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs tonight at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaveman. Pleased to be joined on this special Sunday edition of Bears All Access. For the next hour, we talk about everything that the Bears have done this offseason, look ahead to this week where mini camp begins and the NFL draft gets underway Thursday night. And joining us now on the show is the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. What are you most looking forward to this week, Jeff?
Everything. You name it. I mean, start with practice. You know, just seeing how they run things up at Hattlesaw, who's lined up where. That'll be the first thing. And then secondly, just building to the crescendo of draft night. You have the 7th pick in the draft. That's always exciting. You don't want to be in the top 10, obviously, but you are. So go and grab the best player possible and start building the football team through the draft.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you brought that up, because when you look at the tempo of practice, when the last when Coach Trestman brought his fast-paced tempo practices, what you had a lot of different periods in it, and but now I am interested to watch the way an old school coach, John Fox, how he runs his practices, because I think every time you have a new head coach, there's a certain a tempo or melody or whatever you want to say to a training camp, a practice in mini camp, all those types of things. But I'm glad you brought that up. The pace of practice will be interesting to watch.
Well, you played for several coaches. What kind of tempo did you like? I mean, did everybody do it the same way?
Yeah, up until when I watched the last regime, how they went into things so quickly and the periods were significantly shorter.
No, I'm talking about you as a player.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There was a real consistency that of the training camps I went through. Say you opened up, you had an individual period that was 20 minutes, and then you had an offensive installation that was 25 minutes. And then you had one-on-ones that were 30 minutes, and then you went to 9-on-7. The Coach Trestman and his pace of practice wasn't like that, and it kind of caught me off guard, because he said playing for several coaches, all of them were pretty consistent, from Don Shula to Mike Ditka to George Allen in the reverse order, but there were similarities, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the rookies or the young guys to the veterans accept it.
Yeah, and again, just on who's lining up where. I mean, we have an idea well, we really have no idea exactly how it's going to work out, or if they are projecting guys that just can't do the things that they're going to ask them to do. So, you know, you're not going to see that this week in terms of the detail, but they're going to get a pretty good idea. And I don't think it's ironic that they're going to be practicing this week leading up to the draft later on Thursday night. Isn't that bizarre? You wrap up practice by, what, noon on Thursday, and then they go on the draft room and try and figure out what to do.
It is. It's going to be amazing tempo for the Bears staff, for the whole organization on that Thursday from practice to draft. But, you know, when you talk about guys lining up in a new spot, what do you think? A guy like Jared going from defensive end to a stand-up guy that's been around for a long time, or a guy like Cornelius Washington that's always been an uncertainty to his career, and what is he going to morph into? Is he going to be a defensive end style in Vic's defense, or is he going to be that linebacker? Are you more intrigued to see a young guy with potential or an older guy that's been around for quite a while?
Great question. I think the team does need to get younger in the long run. And so, you know, I ran into Cornelius and I ran into David Bass at an event a few months ago, and they were grinning from ear to ear. So they're excited about the potential of what they might be asked to do. So what that is specifically, we don't know yet, but I think they've got their mind right that, you know, there's a clean sheet of paper here. There's a blank slate, and nothing that's happened in the past really is relevant to this coaching staff. It's an experienced coaching staff. They're going to know exactly what they're looking for. I also believe it'll be a creative coaching staff, and they're going to put together the best possible plan with these guys and not be just boxed in based on what they think they might have and what they have had done in the past with certain guys. I think they're going to be pretty creative. I think you have to be, because there are some holes on this team, obviously, that they have to fill, and they may not be able to fill them all.
You know, when you talk about Vic Fangio and the new 34 defense, you'll always like to think of a big centerpiece in the middle. And you have guys like Jeremiah Ratliff and Will Sutton and Ego Ferguson, and Dunn is another one. I'm not sure of his last name. But is that centerpiece there? Or, you know, because it seems like since the whole talk of the change of the Bears, there's always been a big guy in the conversation, and that's Danny Shelton, the big nose guard out of Washington. But if you're looking at a 34 defense, is your centerpiece in the mix?
That's a great question, because do we really know what kind of 3-4 they're going to run? I mean, you could do a 2-gap where they just hold up guys and let the linebackers get there, or are they going to try and be more of a 1-gap? You can do both, right? So that depends. I don't really know what the plan is, and I think that we'll find out this week too. What's your experience with that? Does it matter?
You know, it all depends. You know, if you do have a great centerpiece, and that's something that you feature within your defense. If you don't have that great centerpiece, then you do try to put people in awkward positions or thinking at the last second, or create a speedier defense rather than one that is, you know, has a thick piece in the middle that's hard to move.
Well, I think this, by and large, I think you can't go wrong with just building as much possible pass rushers, guys that can disrupt the pocket, collapse the pocket from the inside and the outside, and obviously you still got to stop the run. But you know, you want disruptive people in there. So whatever that is, whoever that is, and how they get there, build it. Hopefully that'll happen quickly, because the defense, obviously, it can't get much worse than it's been the last couple of years in terms of what they've given up point wise. So believe me, whatever they do is going to be better than what's been the last couple of years.
Yeah, Bears have allowed nearly 30 points per game over the last two seasons. Tom Thayer is here. We're joined by the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Feels like the only thing we really know about this team is that they're going to be a 3-4 on defense. Jeff, what do we know about the Bears' new offense?
Well, we know what we've seen in the history of Adam Gase, but you know, they've adjusted to whatever quarterback. Same with John Fox. You know, he's adjusted throughout the course of his coaching career. So I think they're going to use the talent of Jay Cutler as best as possible. And I think you got to rely on what John Fox has been all about in his career, and that is running the football. And, you know, he enjoyed in Carolina that tag team duo in the backfield. Whether or not they are able to pull that off here, I don't know. But the offensive line, and those guys coming off the ball and getting that running game revved up will help Jay Cutler. It'll help the offense. I don't know what else they're going to plan on doing in the draft in terms of offense. Certainly feel that there's an opening at receiver to pair up with Alshon Jeffrey and Eddie Royal and Marcus Wilson. So Marquise Wilson, I just I think, again, you know, until we find out what they have, until the coaches know what they have, I don't know exactly what it will be. And I think that's the fun of this. You know, can't wait to see it all unfold over the course of the next few months and certainly starting this week.
How about this?
I think it's going to be a combination of stuff.
If you know, John Fox running the ball, big backs, and if we want to talk about the Bears as a committee running game, is there a committee here, or do we need that another person or two outside of Matt Forte?
Well, you got Kadeem Carey, and we saw him really only one game. And I know you and I have discussed this before. Whatever was felt about him over the course of the season, that Green Bay game, he did a nice job. He was making progress with every run. He was aggressive. He was physical. He was not being knocked back. He was moving forward and plowing into guys. So I thought he did a nice job. You brought in Jaquizz Rodgers in free agency. Again, a one-year guy, more of a third-down guy. Maybe he's got some return in him as well. And you got Matt Forte. You know, you also have the kid from Louisville last year. So I believe they will draft one or find one somehow, because it's such a deep, I bet you there'll be some undrafted kids that are not going to make it through the draft just because of the depth of this draft in terms of running backs. So there'll be backs here, and I think it'll be some healthy competition behind Matt Forte.
You know, selfishly, I kind of want Matt to be okay with the committee of running backs, because at this stage of his career, I think Matt can be a huge asset to a football team on first, second, and third down. But if he was willing to give up some of those first or second short type of carries that allowed other guys to get involved, Matt could probably be a fresher back in the last four games of the regular season.
So, right. I mean, also, do you even envision him being the pass receiver in this offense that he's been as well? I don't know. I mean, that'll take some hits off him.
Yep.
Certainly not the physical between the tackles or getting hammered by three linebackers when you turn the edge. But I think that, you know, that'll be something we got to find out also.
And those are answers we're not going to find out this week. It's going to take a little bit of time before that materializes. We're joined by Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears. Hey, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll get Jeff's thoughts on the actual draft, meaning the six picks prior to where the Bears go. You guys are going to be broadcasting downtown. It's going to be a lot of fun this week in Chicago. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ready, Set, Shuffle. Registration is now open for the Super Bear Shuffle 5K powered by Power Plate on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field.
I was there last year for that Super Bear Shuffle. It was a great time at Soldier Field. They had a big outdoor screen that showed the opening night of the football season, and a huge amount of Bears fans supported all the guys that were out there that had different teams. It was really neat to see.
So if you want to join Tom and the rest of the gang there, www.chicagobears.com/5K, the Super Bears Shuffle 5K, powered by Power Plate, Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Speaking of downtown, Zach Zabin here. We're alongside Tom Thayer. Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, joins us for segment number two. And you guys Thursday are going to be downtown where? Millennium Park?
I think Jeff is going to sit on top of the bean and broadcast from there, and I'm going to sit below the bean at his feet.
Well, we will be in the thick of it, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, we're going to be in the draft town area there, and we'll be on the air on WBBM AM starting at 7 o'clock. We're going to go through the whole first round. Tom, myself, Patrick Manley, and Dan Pompey. I think you'll be helping us out from Hallis Hall. We're going to have lots of good insight. Can't wait. Love the draft. Always have. And the first round will be intriguing. Yeah, there will be surprises. There are surprises every single year. What you thought was going to happen doesn't, and what you didn't think is going to happen pulls a sucker punch on you. And I think, you know, who trades who where, and if they're able to move something around in order to go and get Marcus Mariota, that seems to be the biggest storyline.
Lovie Smith was here for a decade. You would think you kind of know what direction he's going in, but Jeff, do you, when you look at that top overall pick at Tampa Bay?
I mean, you know, you think it's a quarterback. I mean, in this case, but otherwise it'd be a defensive player. I would think it would be somebody like Leonard Williams. You pair him with Gerald McCoy, go to work and figure things out down the road. But, you know, everything is pointing towards one of the two quarterbacks and likely Winston. But who knows? I mean, all I know is this, all I care about is what the Bears are going to do. So with that seventh pick, if you just go on this assumption, and maybe it's too much of an assumption, but guys like Leonard Williams and Dante Fowler and Amari Cooper and Kevin White, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, those are six guys right there. assuming those guys are gone, then you've got a bunch of interesting decisions to make. You could go any number of ways for the Bears. You can go to another receiver. I know they've met with Devontae Parker. You got Breshad Perryman. You got a corner from Michigan State and Trey Waynes. You got the offensive lineman Brennan Sheriff from Iowa. You got Vic Beasley from Clemson. You got the Shelton kid from Washington. You could go any direction if, in fact, those are the first six. If one of those guys fall out of that first six, then you jump on one of those, I'd imagine. So I think what they have here, or you can even trade down. I know people don't love that idea, but I think that Ryan Pace in his first NFL draft with the Chicago Bears, with the help of John Fox and that front office, I think they're going to get somebody they feel will be special, and I feel they have to. They have to have somebody special here, Tom and Zach, that is here for the next, at least the next 5 to 8 years, that is an impact player and is a plug-and-play starter day one.
You know, one thing that scares me about the draft, and it's every year, is because the only thing that we're not privileged to is the inside, the deep interior medical information of some of these guys and what they have gone through in their grade school, high school, college, and their upbringing and stuff. And when you are making a decision that it's going to impact your football team, your organization, hopefully for years to come, we're always giving our ideal draft choice without really knowing that information. And if you start leading up to the draft and you really want to do some inside investigating, you can find something that is going to be a concern of yours about a football player that you want there to be 16 games in every practice. There are going to be some factors that may sway your decision a little bit more positively or negatively according to what these guys can fulfill of in terms of their obligation. So, you know, Jeff, of anything that I don't like for us in terms of leading up to the draft is just we're not privileged to that information that's so important in that 11th hour decision.
All right. Or, you know, this idea that players are vaulting up draft boards based on, you know, suddenly having a great private workout that somebody leaks, or somebody banging on a player that all of a sudden, you know, maybe he's not the best guy or isn't a great worker, and things are, it's one big lie most of the time. But, you know, the idea that maybe somebody's been vaulting up draft boards is highly unlikely. It's just now getting to some of the draft analysts potentially and guys getting a lot of work. I mean, there's a guy, you know, Eli Harold from Virginia, he's had like 12 visits. So all of a sudden everybody's thinking, boom, this guy could, and he might. I mean, who knows? But, you know, these guys have been on the radar of every NFL team. These guys, this is what they do, period. Their scouts have been on these guys for 2 years, 3 years. Drafts are unpredictable, and every now and again you're going to get burned. Every team's going to pass on somebody who turns out to be a great player. Heck, this morning, just watching on the NFL Network, going through some of those old drafts, you know, the draft busts or the draft misses or the guys who had to wait, just knowing that Cedric Benson was the Bears' pick and we were one of the 24 teams that passed on Aaron Rodgers, it even now makes you angry. Even now, you think about it, just makes you angry.
Well, you know, but you know what the strange thing about it is because, you know, that's the way it unraveled then. And now you fast forward, you put the draft in Chicago. And then how many emails you got from people representing these players and trying to get you in front of them so you can come back with a positive attitude of them and then get their name on the radio, on the TV, or whatever it is. And that's one of the strangest things I found out about this year when the draft being in Chicago is the invitation to go meet these guys pre-draft so you can get a positive reflection of them.
Right, because they have marketing agents now, and the marketing agents are getting them tied up with certain product lines, whether it be clothing or you name it. I mean, any product line, and they're doing their job. I guess we just haven't been exposed to it here because it's been New York-centric. So, yeah, I am surprised by that, too. My email has been filled with those invitations. They're private events here and about town, which is great. It's great for the kid, no doubt. But, again, many of these guys, and in the Houston Chronicle, and I haven't read it yet, it's a long story today. They spent a lot of time. They claim they put in some 100 hours going through every draft since 2011 and going through the amount of snaps each of these players in this draft and those drafts from 2011 to 2014 have played, and the numbers are staggering. I mean, there's just a small fraction of players that you would call impact players, and certainly much fewer than that ever make the Pro Bowl. And much fewer than that ever make the Super Bowl. So you know, we're doing a lot of investigation into many guys who are not going to amount to much over the next couple of years.
You know, and
really interesting. And that's just the way it's always been.
In fact, you know, it's something I was talking to a medical person about Jadeveon Clowney because of you just talk about the scenarios. And he says, I don't know if Jadeveon Clowney will ever play at the level expected of him according to where he was picked. You know, and that, you know, that. Those types of picks come back to haunt every team in the NFL.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, you've been on that from the moment you declared for the draft.
Agree. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
You remember? Very leery. You know what it reminds me of? I remember we've done plenty of draft shows together, and Zach as well, and knowing how much time I spent on trying to figure these things out. It reminds. Remember back, I was enamored with Andre Wadsworth. Remember him?
Yes.
He's now a 40-year-old man, and he was a third overall pick out of Florida State to the Arizona Cardinals. Played 3 years there and one more year with the New York Jets. He tried to come back in 2007 after playing just 3 years with Arizona. Injuries galore, and that was the end of him. I mean, so it happens. It happens, and you just don't hope it happens high in the first round of the draft.
The first
thing happens all the time.
You're right. The first thing that Tom said to me when I asked him before the show started, what do you think? He goes, I just want the Bears to take a guy who's got the work ethic of a J.J. Watt.
Right. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's what I said. Wherever you pick him.
You know, you know how few guys there are like that, really deep down? I mean, there's a guy now. He doesn't come to mind, but maybe it's Malcolm Brown of Texas. Okay. Very good player. But, you know, certain things, because I'm glad you brought that up. I have quotes from him, and I'm sure he is an excellent player. He's a very mature guy. He's got a couple of kids already. Started playing football since the age of 7, but these kind of quotes, they kind of have my radar up. He doesn't follow the NFL, and I know a lot of guys do. Peanut Tillman claims he never watches football and never was really interested in watching the game, and his quote is, "I don't want to be all about football. I study film. I do what I have to do for the game, but if I study too much, it'll get boring." Now, that's not something, frankly, I want to hear. I want to hear a guy wants to be in the building all the time and do as much as possible. I want to hear the stories about a guy like you tell me on flights to and from games about what Singletary did or about what you and Jay did or about what other guys on your defense did, and that is just bury themselves in the game. Love the game, have great football character. They don't need to be choir boys, but they got to be great football character, meaning they're going to do whatever it takes, watch as much film as it takes, to be great at their craft. Like, we are trying to do our own careers, and that's what I'm looking for. I want guys who love it. I want guys who want every aspect of this to be successful, and I want them to love being NFL players for the Chicago Bears. That's what I hope they get.
Well, they're going to get an opportunity to get that. They've got a top 10 pick in each of the first four rounds, so a real opportunity to change the direction of the franchise going forward. Jeff, thank you so much. Enjoy the festivities this week.
All right. Hey, thank you. See you guys later. Thanks for having me on.
The Voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, spending some time with us. Let's take a quick time out. When we come back, Jim Miller's going to join
judge.
Us.
He only comes to judge now.
All right. So should I toss out the phone number then?
Yeah.
Because we'll play Ask Tom as well and include Jim in the festivities. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're going to play Ask Tom when we return. It's rapid fire football questions from you for Tom Thayer. At the end of the segment, the best caller in that segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Judge Jim Miller. Next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. With over 50 chances to win, the Bears Draft Insider Sweepstakes is your best chance to win amazing prizes, including a chance to see the draft live. Register at www.chicagobears.com/draftinsider. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. We're just mere moments away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We've waited until late in the show to actually play the game because we were missing our judge, Jim Miller. And Jim joins us now on the program. Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer with you. And Jim, where have you been? Did the kid win?
That's right. How'd the game go, Jim?
It was a bad opener, boys. Let's just put it that way. We're beating the 49ers, and we fell to the Green Bay Packers 20-0 today. So we didn't get off to a good start, but we've got a lot of promise for next week.
Well, teams improve most from week one to week two, so we expect big numbers out of you guys next week.
All right, we came close. We were down at the goal line. We just couldn't punch it in, but we are expecting big things next week.
All right, help us understand, with less than a week to go before the NFL draft gets underway on Thursday night, you've been doing this all off season. Have things kind of gained a little bit of clarity for you when you look at what's going to happen in that top 10?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a big story that a lot of people are focusing on is Todd Gurley, his medical. That's the running back from Georgia. There are a lot of people that have now placed him in their top 10. And it was never, it's not like he was ever out of the, you know, say the top 10 to 15 players anyway. It was just the medical. You know, here's an outstanding running back who comes with a lot of production, and he catches the football tremendously, and he's a big power back out of Georgia. And so now the medical comes back. Everybody thinks now he's just going to have to be placed on PUP. And I'm going to be honest, I think it affects the Bears and what the Bears do, because the Bears are sitting at the seventh pick. And if you look at the teams behind them, Atlanta needs a running back. The Giants need a running back. You could see the Chargers trading up from 17 to have an opportunity to get Gurley. And then you even factor in the Minnesota Vikings at 11, because if they end up trading away Adrian Peterson, they're going to have a need at running back if they can work something out via a trade. So I think that becomes a big decision for Ryan Pace, where if they, you know, we know Forte's a tremendous back, but there's some bigger power backs I think the Bears would focus on later in the draft, and that the Bears could trade down potentially one spot, even two spots, and still pick up a great player, whether it's a wide receiver, whether it's a corner, or like a Breshad Perriman for University of Central Florida, or say a guy like Trey Waynes from Michigan State. So keep your eye on that, because I think that once that medical came back on Gurley, his name has been brought up a lot from what I'm hearing.
Jim, I just asked this to Jeff Joniak, and curious, what do you think Matt's attitude would be for a committee running back, not just one back that gets a majority of the load?
I just don't, you know, I think Forte's capable of it, there's no doubt, but we know he's in a contract year, so I can't rule out the Bears taking a running back. Plus, if you look at John Fox's history, I mean, go back to even Stephen Davis. For when John Fox, he took him to the Super Bowl. I mean, Stephen Davis had 1,400 yards that year that Carolina went to the Super Bowl. That guy's 230 pounds. Look at John Fox out there in Denver. He drafted the Monty Ball from Wisconsin. He's 225. C.J. Anderson finished the season as a starter. He's 225 to 230. So that's just been John Fox's history. He wants a big bruiser. And he wants to bang away at you. Forte can do it, multidimensionally. But I think at the end of the day, John Fox wants a big bruiser where he can intimidate some people running the football as well.
Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll play Ask Tom. Do you want to hang around for that, Jim? And then we'll get your thoughts as well on everything happening around the world of football.
Yeah, that sounds great, man.
All right, let's do it. Ask Tom is next. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Line them up. Your questions, rapid fire. Anything in the world of football is fair game for 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller will be sitting back and judging you as you call in. At the end of the segment, Jim will say who the best caller was, and that caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin. We're about to play Ask Tom, but I'm going to do what they call in radio. I'm going to tease you a little bit. And here's what I mean by that. Jim Miller's been saying all along he thinks Tampa Bay is not going to go with Jameis Winston at number one. We'll find out if he still believes that with the draft coming up on Thursday. So we'll get Jim's take. But for now, he's Judge Jim Miller. Your calls, rapid fire for Tom Thayer. We call it Ask Tom, 312-644-6767. Anything in the world of football is fair game. So let's begin the festivities with a gift certificate to Sports Authority. On the line, we'll start at Midway. Chris, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Chris. Chris, you there?
Chris is not there. We move on. Next caller, Don Naperville. You're on Bears All Access.
Don.
Hey, Tom. Last year, the Emery and crew signed a lot of one-year wonders to one-year contracts, and they were all busts. This year, they've signed a bunch of guys one-year contracts. How do we know that the quality of player they signed this year is not identical to what they signed last year, if these are one-year players and no one else seemed to want them?
You know, you go back to Phil's thinking why he signed the defensive players he did. He took the idea that the Bears' offense was going to be even better at scoring points the second year. They were going to get them to an advantage, and then they're going to try to unleash pass rushers on them. Lamar Houston, Willie Young, Jared Allen being the free agents. And the offense never held up to their end of the bargain, and then these guys tried to be run stoppers instead of pass rushers. So the whole philosophical thinking kind of derailed, and never got anybody into the type of game that they were assigned for. I think some of the young guys they came out and signed this year, they have some 20-something-year-olds that really have a big upside ahead of them if they can stay injury-free and get acclimated to this new style of defense. So I think the new free agents from this year were signed specifically to be involved in the 34 scheme, whereas the free agents last year were signed because they were going to be pass rushers because they were going to have an effective offense, and, you know, nothing ever worked out on behalf of the offense complementing the defense.
And also keep in mind that the older players that the Bears signed this offseason have not been given these monster contracts that stifle you from a salary cap standpoint.
Great, great point, yes.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom rolls on midway. Chris, you are on Bears All Access.
We got you, Chris.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm with you now. Hey, Tom, my question is, what's harder for the younger guys on defense that are based 3-4 to practice as a 4-3? Or is it harder for an offensive guard or a wide receiver to face a 3-4 but yet understand a 4-3 better? I don't know if that's a little confusing.
Yeah, it is interesting because there's different aspects to each. You know, whenever you're playing four down linemen, that's the first identification when the offensive linemen break the huddle and they look at those four guys. And then all your assignments are going to be determined from the first level to the second level as determined by the four guys in a stance. Now, when you're playing against a 3-4 defense, you have to look at variations of depth of certain players. If a guy, you still have your three down linemen that the offensive line will be accounted for, but then you have to look at the depth of the linebackers. If they come from their area, which is 2.5 to 3.5 yards off the ball, those guys can be responsibilities of running backs, or even a guard can have two different types of reads. So it is all the determination of the defensive line first and where the second level is lined up. I don't think it's any more confusing for a 4-3 to a 34. I think it's all about knowing your assignments and understanding your assignments according to the offensive play called.
Next contestant, Carl on the west side. Ask Tom. All right, we got to have you turn off your radio. We go to the next caller. We don't have a lot of time here. This is a rapid-fire game. Let's say hi to Darren in Iowa. Darren, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Darren.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I got a good question. I'm hearing a lot of people from the Chicago Bears media only is not talking very highly of Danny Shelton. Now, why is that?
I do think there's some compliments being thrown around by Danny Shelton, but I just think that there's six or seven other guys in the mix. So if you have someone that's really enamored with Danny Shelton, they'll talk highly of him. But if they're enamored with a Victor Beasley or some of these other players, then they're going to start promoting that player and not talkingly as glowingly as about a guy like Danny Shelton. But again, 34, if you want a centerpiece player in the draft, he is the guy to look to this year.
Final contestant, we go out to Lamont. Paul, you are on Bears All Access. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
Good.
Do you think the Bears have any shot at Mariota?
Man, not according to Jim Miller, Judge Jim Miller, who's on the other side of the line. He has strong belief that he could be going number one to Tampa Bay. But you know, Paul, I don't think any of us know what's going to happen on draft day. I think this is probably the most sit back and watch what's going to happen, because no matter what evaluator you listen to, anybody who's trying to, you know, pre-think the draft, you could find five different guys that have five different lineups in the first five picks. So I just think it's something to watch. Can Mariota slip? Yeah, he can. But again, Judge Jim Miller may not give you the certificate because he thinks he's going number one.
We'll get Jim's thoughts coming up. But Jim, first, we need a winner.
Let's go Chris in Midway. Like the question on 4-3, 3-4 defense. Tom broke it down beautifully. You have 4-3 rules and you have 3-4 rules. And sometimes 3-4 gives you a harder time because there's more array of blitzes that you got to be prepared for as an offensive line. But it's simple. If you want to convert it to a 4-3, just make one of those pass-rushing linebackers a down lineman, then you just utilize your 4-3 rules. Really good question by him.
Jim, good. That's a great answer by you because you can take a 3-4 and turn it into a 4-3 just by making one other guy in a stance. Rarely to almost never will you make a 4-3 go to a 34. So that's a good point by you, Jim, to bring up.
Great stuff. So Chris from Midway gets the gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. All right, we've got 30 seconds, Jim, before we have to say goodbye. You still believe Marcus Mariota is going one to the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I think you got two Hall of Fame GMs that are even torn. Ron Wolf, formerly of the Packers, he likes Jameis Winston and his natural passing ability. But if you listen to Bill Polian, he'll take Mariota all day long. So I bring up that point about Mark Helfrich, the head coach out at Oregon. He was an OC under Dirk Cutter at Arizona State. And so Dirk Cutter is now the OC of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And for me, guys, it comes down to who do you trust? You know, who do you trust? I trust Mariota more than I trust Jameis Winston. I think he's a talented young man, and I think he's smart. But even this last week, he didn't give a great answer about walking out of that store, the Publix with the crab legs, you know, about just taking it and a guy was hooking him up. That's just not what you want to do right before the draft.
Jim, so, are you going in with Mariota being your starting quarterback with Tampa if you do draft him one?
I think they're going to play him. I don't think any of them are ready, but I think Dirk Cutter talking with Mark Helfrich, they can come up with a plan with what he can do, what he can't do. And, you know, it's not like, you know, he can't learn to take a snap from underneath center. He's done it before, and he's been doing it now for the last 3 or 4 months, and he's capable of dropping 3, 5, and 7 and going through the reads and getting rid of the football. The last thing I'd say is, you know, it's so hard because none of us are privy to that behind-the-scenes information, whether it's the psychological exams, you know, and all that interrogation that all these teams have, you know, in terms of injuries and the psychological stuff that they go through to really make a solid decision. But I really like Mariota. They're both winners. I hope they have a great pro careers. But I just think Mariota, I would trust him, and I think a lot of organizations trust him more than Jameis Winston.
All right, Jim Miller's on record. Guess what? A week from today, no more speculation. We get to break it all down. The Bears would have completed their draft, and there will be a lot of analysis that takes place. Special Sunday edition next week of Bears All Access Post-Draft with Tom Thayer. Jim, thank you so much for joining us and participating in the show. Thanks to Jeff Joniak, who spent some time with us as well. For Mark Jolliffe and Ethan Shaw, I'm Zach Sabin saying thanks for listening. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.